A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because you are haughty of heart, you say, a god am I. I occupy a godly throne in the heart of the sea. And yet you are a man, and not a god, however you may think yourself like a god. Oh yes, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is beyond you. By your wisdom and your intelligence, you have made riches for yourself. You have put gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom applied to your trading, you have heaped up your riches. Your heart has grown haughty from your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have thought yourself to have the mind of a god, therefore I will bring against you foreigners, the most barbarous of nations. They shall draw their swords against your beauteous wisdom. They shall run them through your splendid apparel. They shall thrust you down to the pit, there to die, a bloodied corpse in the heart of the sea. Will you then say, I am a god, when you face your murderers? No, you are a man, not a god, handed over to those who will slay you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised at the hands of foreigners, for I have spoken. Thus says the Lord God. Verbum Domini. It is I who deal death and give life. I would have them. I will make an end of them and blot out their name from men's memories. Had I not feared the insolence of their enemies, feared that these foes would mistakenly boast. Our own hand won the victory. The Lord had nothing to do with it, for they are a people devoid of reason, having no understanding. How could one man rout 1,000, or two men put 10,000 to flight, unless it was because the rock sold them, and the Lord delivered them up? Close at hand is the day of their disaster, and their doom is rushing upon them. Surely the Lord shall do justice for his people. On his servants he shall have pity.
Oh, Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Then Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, you yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Verbum Domini. What a remarkable saint we celebrate today, who had such a profound influence in his time in the 1100s. He was an advisor to popes and to kings. And it's said there's hardly any major event of that time that he wasn't involved in some way. Being called out of the cloister of the monastery, founding some 160 Cistercian monasteries, St. Bernard of Clairvaux. And there's a story in his life where this man was being hung for his crimes. And St. Bernard learned of this, and he intervened, and he said, "Give him to me. I will kill him with my own hands." Of course, what he was saying was not he was going to physically put the man to death, but he was going to put to death what was evil in him and to let virtue grow in him. It was said that even the roughest characters, that he could lead them to sanctity. And so that's easy for us to believe when you think of all that he accomplished during his time. And what was it that especially motivated him and enabled him to be able to do this? It was the fiery love he had for the Lord. And so in our divine office that we pray as religious, and a number of lay people pray it now as well, we had a beautiful reading from one of his sermons. And in fact, you know, Bernard, he had some 80-some sermons on the Canticle of Canticles, the Song of Songs, which is this book about the love of God, the bridegroom, and the bride, which Bernard and others have interpreted as the love of God for his people, the love of Christ, the bridegroom, for his bride, the church. So here's just a couple of sentences from today's Office of Readings, where he's speaking about the love of God. And he says, "For when God loves, all he desires is to be loved in return. The sole purpose of his love is to be loved, in the knowledge that those who love him are made happy by their love of him. Why does he want us to love him in return? Why does he command us? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Because we'll be made happy in that. We will find the fulfillment of our lives. He would say, love is sufficient of itself. It gives pleasure by itself and because of itself. Its profit lies in its practice. And then he says, you know, that we could kind of get downcast because we could never equal the love of God for us and our love for him. And he responds, it is true that the creature loves less because she is less. But if she loves with her whole being, nothing is lacking where everything is given. When he was approaching close to his death, he was 40 years a religious, he wrote this, I say it boldly, I cannot be separated throughout eternity from one whom I have so loved. You see, that gives us a security greater than any money ever could. And so our Lord, we had the account yesterday of the rich young man, and he has this holy desire. He thinks that these desires that he's sensing within himself can be satisfied in this one that he sees, Jesus. And he's right. He said, what good must I do to inherit eternal life? And so the Lord lays the foundation. Well, first, the moral law. You have to turn away from sin. Keep the commandments. So, well, I've done these since my youth. He said, well, if you wish to be perfect, then go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. But that was too much. You know, in many ways, it's easier for us to put our security in things, in money. We'd like to win the lottery. Then I can be secure. I can be set in my life. And you know, it was about 10 years ago, there was an article about a young woman. She's just 17. She bought her first lottery ticket, and she won the Euro Millions lottery. It's 100 million British pounds, about $1.25 million. And it was great at the beginning. She bought like 50 handbags. She bought a Range Rover she wanted, purple. And she goes shopping all the time. But here's what she said at that time. I thought it would make it 10 times better, but it's made it 10 times worse. I wish I had no money most days. I say to myself, my life would be so much easier if I hadn't won. People look at me and think, I wish I had her lifestyle. I wish I had her money. But they don't realize the extent of my stress. I have material things, but apart from that, my life is empty. What is my purpose in life? And I was wondering, well, you know, how is she doing now today? And I found a couple of articles that were written earlier this year where she says she has good days and bad days. She enjoys being able to travel whenever and wherever she wants. But there are days she sits in her estate, in her home in her estate, and she cries all day. So money can give us a lot of things, make things easier for us in many ways, but it can't satisfy our deepest needs, our deepest longings. We can't buy love. She even said that in a recent article that I read. Can't buy you love. Well, this is what St. Bernard discovered, that there is one who can satisfy those deepest longings of our heart, the one who loves us immensely, intensely. And that's why I'm wearing the Sacred Heart vestment. We have a Sacred Heart statue out here today. because it's found in him. It's found in him. And you know, St. Bernard had a profound influence on the spirituality of St. Francis of Assisi. He lived in the 1100s, Francis lived in the 1200s. But Bernard already began this devotional life to the sacred humanity of Jesus. And many devotions, like to the Sacred Heart, the Holy Name, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, guardian angels, that he had an influence on that because of his own burning love. And what did our collect at the beginning of the Mass say today? O God, who made the abbot Saint Bernard, a man consumed with zeal for your house, a light shining and burning in your church, grant through his intercession that we may be on fire with the same spirit and walk always as children of light. You know, some of the hymns that we sing, the text comes from St. Bernard, some of those that we're very familiar with. For example, O Sacred Head Surrounded. Those words come from St. Bernard, his own devotion to our Lord's passion, to his suffering. Another one that's quite popular, Jesu Dulcis Memoria. Jesu Dulcis Memoria. You probably know that melody. Or here's a translation of that. These are words of St. Bernard of Clairvaux. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills the breast. But sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. No voice can sing, no heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than Jesus' name, the Savior of mankind. O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. But what to those who find? Ah, this, nor tongue nor pen can show. The love of Jesus, what it is, none but who love him know. Jesus, our only joy, be thou, as thou our prize wilt be. In thee be all our glory now and through eternity. Jesus makes a remarkable, he says something nobody else could say in today's gospel. He speaks about the age that is going to come, where the Son of Man, who's he speaking about? Himself. That's the title he used most frequently of himself. In this age to come, in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, that you too will share in my glory. And you who follow me now, you're going to have enough for what you need. And you're going to have eternal life. Last night we had a beautiful celebration. Several of our friars this year had significant anniversaries. And so last night we celebrated anniversaries that took place on August 15th. Father Anthony had his 30th anniversary of his first profession of vows. Father Leonard and Father Patrick, their 20th anniversary. Father Matthew, his 15th. Last June, Father Dominic and Father Miguel celebrated their 20th anniversary of priesthood ordination. So they heard the Lord's call, and what a blessing it is to have brothers who have persevered, who have trusted in the Lord's word to follow him, and that he would provide for them, and he has. The Lord has so generously provided for us. But we also have that hope of eternal life, of sharing in his glory. And that's not just for us who are religious, who make vows, but it's for all of us. That the Lord doesn't want us to trust in something so insecure as wealth. And we heard that in today's first reading. To the king of Tyre, he's being told, you're saying to yourself, a god am I. You have made riches for yourself. You've heaped up riches. Your heart has grown haughty from your riches. No, you are a man, not a god. We can lose health or wealth overnight. But as Bernard said, that he put his total trust in Jesus, that the one he had loved so much, he knew that he could not be separated from him for all eternity. So I'd just like to close with a story I really like about the early days of the network and Mother coming here in the early 60s. This chapel was dedicated in 1962. This is where Mother Angelica and the sisters first lived. And so when they first moved here, a businessman who had some grocery stores, his name was Joe Bruno, said, well, Mother, how are you going to feed your sisters? And she said, well, I hadn't really thought about it. He said, well, I have grocery stores, so this first year, I'll give you free groceries. Well, thank you, Joe. So the year goes by, and Mother thanks him. Thank you for giving us the groceries this past year. He said, Mother, my business has prospered so much that as long as I have grocery stores, you have free groceries. And he would tell others, I can't afford not to help the sisters. You see, his helping of the sisters brought, it came back to him. And for over 25 years, he fed the sisters. And then he built a cancer wing at St. Vincent's Hospital. He had means, he had money. He bought our first production van that could travel and do remote productions. But he understood that he was a steward. He wasn't the master of the things that he had. And he would use them for good, for the spread of the kingdom, for the glory of God. So, dear people, we have the greatest security we can possibly have, a love that we can never be separated from, as St. Paul says. Nothing on earth and heaven can separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord.